David, I'm just going to right off the bat say we all better damn well hope that they can keep this going because it's the only way that they're going to win games.
Guys, welcome to another episode of the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of your favorite Falcons fan site, The Falcoholic. I am DW, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, the Jume, Petter of Dogs, first of her name, the Daenerys Targaryen, the Falcons Twitter, the Quick Draw McGraw, Facebook Messenger, the Trash Talker Supreme, she who will not be bossed, Gina Mad Online Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
I am doing great, David. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am out of breath because your nickname is getting too long at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
And I need to work on cardio. Joining us today for the podcast, we actually have two guests, and I'm very excited about this. So first, she is the managing editor of NCAA Team Brands from SB Nation and a contributor at Streaking the Lawn. Also happens to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And that is Caroline Darney. Caroline, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on. And I feel like I need to add a few things to my introduction.
Go for it.
Study up for next time because that was something else. Very much.
It's jarring the first time you hear it.
Oh, no,
you
I love get it. Used I was to. Trying to keep up, and now I need to remember to follow up with her about Facebook messaging, but that's neither here nor there. We can do that later. It's fine.
Oh, indeed. And also joining us, he has been on every podcast in the Falcons universe except for the one for his own freaking site. And we finally got him to come back on, and that is the one and only, the Falcoholic himself, Dave Choate. Dave, how's it going, man?
I'm just saying the Falcons.ru podcast is pretty good.
That's probably a real thing. And there's some guys in the middle of Moscow who are like, oh, Dave Choate, yeah. So anyhow.
that's offensive.
Dave is big with the Ukrainians. They're big fans of Dave Choate.
It's true.
So let's get right into it. Obviously, before we jump into this weekend's big game, the Falcons going up to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, let's talk a little bit about the two teams and what they are coming in from. Unfortunately, both teams are coming in with some losses. Let's start first with Pittsburgh, who I believe they were at home against the Baltimore Ravens. And lost that game 26-14. So, Caroline, what happened in the game? Can you give us a quick synopsis of, again, one of the storied rivalries in the NFL? What was the difference in that game?
The second half. Having to play it, I think, was the biggest thing. apparently, no one really told the Steelers that there was a second half. So they were like, tied. So the Steelers fell behind 14-0, like lickety split right out the gate. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. I used to work in Baltimore, and as a Steelers fan and someone who went to the University of Virginia and someone who likes the Red Sox, I'm a military brat. Everyone calm down. I have reasons. I'm going to chill out.
The Red Sox are good. So that's a good reason.
Yeah. But living there with all of those things, obviously don't mesh with any of the local Maryland, Baltimore things. So it was a real nightmare for a while. I hate the Ravens, and the Steelers just look like crap in the second half and literally did nothing. Like, I don't even know. Oh, this team 1-2-1 is just embarrassing. Like, we have the same record as the Browns, which, oh God. and it's just, you look at it and like, I'm fine. They lost to the fighting Patrick Mahomes in a shootout. Like, that's, yeah, you know, it happens. Like, I guess that's just going to be a thing that is going on this season, which cool. But the second half of that game against the Ravens was just flat. Like, they just couldn't get anything going. The defense managed to make the Ravens offense look like they were full of the best athletes in the history of the universe.
They do have Joe Flacco.
It's true.
I mean, Let's remember, they have Flacco.
Well, and they're Elite. When the oh man, I have like whole things about like Lamar Jackson is just a delightful human being and a phenomenal football player. And watching them like try and use him in a wildcat, I don't even know what they're doing with him. Like when they put him out there, except trying to get him hit. And the Steelers are tackling him, and I'm like, he should be on the Steelers because they didn't draft him with the pick right beforehand. And it just was, they're getting beat on every route. The offense, Big Ben looked like he had just had a huge five guys meal at the half. And was just like, oh, I forgot there's two halves. I got to go back out there.
Oh, crap.
It's just like, he looked like a bear that had been shot by a tranquilizer dart. And just like the whole thing was just very frustrating. Like passes that were like right behind. When AB finally gets open after being double teamed, like every play, and you throw it 5 yards behind him instead of leading him, I'm like, what are you doing?
It was pretty brutal. Ah. Yeah, I saw some of those passes. So, to be fair, the Falcons did you guys no favors. Yeah. They hosted at home for the, I believe that was the third straight home game for the Falcons. They hosted the Bengals, who came in. And Dave, I'll go to you with this one. What happened on Sunday to the Falcons?
Don't want to talk about it.
You have no choice. You're contractually obligated.
All right. Well, let me tell you what happened. The offense was fantastic. Looked terrific. The passing game looked unstoppable. Calvin Ridley is a delight. Julio Jones is on pace for over 2,000 yards and zero touchdowns, and I love that for some reason. And, you know, that should have been enough to win the game. But what happened was is the defense, in their infinite wisdom, decided that letting the Bengals score on every drive in the first half would lull them into a false sense of security in the second half. And that actually kind of worked. But it didn't work well enough. And it's gotten so bad with the communication in the secondary, where we saw multiple times last Sunday, you know, Brian Poole pointing at the sky like he expected something to come down from it. I don't know, a meteor or something.
and Isaiah Oliver's like, that was gonna be the case.
Isaiah Oliver's in the Chick-fil-A trying to order something, even though it's Sunday. There are some bad communication issues happening here. And so they're turning the music down at practice this week to fix that. So I think we're doomed, guys. I'm not going to lie.
It's not a good thing. Can I offer my theory? I think this could solve all y'all's problems.
Go for it.
We're willing to hear it.
So Falcons 1-3, some close games. Do you know what they did in that one game that they haven't done in the other three?
No.
Yeah, they put Matt Schaub in for a snap. So,
you
know what? It's too bad that Chambers isn't on this because I think that he made that exact same point. Like, it's time for Matt Schaub to get more snaps. In that game, the Falcons won. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
obviously,
Matt Schaub is the key.
Incredible. Matt Ryan has been, it's one of those, like, how many times have I seen Gina tweet sadly, like, oh, he had the best passing performance of the league this week? Great, 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 great. He's obviously not the problem. But as a Virginia grad and Matt Schaub being my homie, not really, I don't know him. Don't tell him I said he's my homie.
I won't tell him, so, but I was like, that's great.
Yeah, we latch on to those things and we're like, oh, you know what you should do? Put in the Virginia guy that doesn't get any snaps. And you win the game. Sorry, I don't have any new.
I'm willing to try anything at this point, even if it means putting Schaub in. So,
and it's funny because people have still, this week has been especially trying for me, because the number of people who think that Matt Ryan is part of the problem and are like, but he missed that one throw. it's crushing. Yeah. It's been actually ruining my week. So
there's probably some people that would say the same thing about like what I just said about Big Ben, because he is like leading the league in passing yards. So it's hard to be like, this is the problem, but
he does always look like he needs Tums though, like perpetually. Yes.
Constant state of just being uncomfortable. He's like, discomfort is a word that you would associate with him.
Well, in fairness, I'm not touching that actually. Never mind. We're going to move on. So let's talk about the two offenses that will be featured on Sunday as the Falcons go up and try to beat the Steelers for the first time ever in Pittsburgh. I didn't realize until someone told me that they have never beaten the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and they have only beaten the Steelers once in the entire history of the Falcons franchise.
What?
Which is entirely not shocking, having been a Falcons fan for the better part of my life. So, Gene, I'm going to start with you. Let's start first with the Atlanta offense and what we've seen the past several games. We've seen against the Panthers, 31 points, 37 against the Saints, 36 against the Bengals. Knowing what you know, having seen what you've seen, do you think they can keep this pace up of 30-plus points per game like they did in 2016? Or do you think we may be in for a little bit of regression?
Well, David, I'm just going to right off the bat say we all better damn well hope that they can keep this going because it's the only way that they're going to win games. But that said, I do feel like Sark has figured out how to use the talent at his disposal. We've seen, I think, much more creative play calling. We've seen play calling that is a much better fit for what the defense is giving us. And then more than that, you know, we're seeing Matt Ryan spread the ball around. Both Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith have been really effective in Devontae's absence, and Matt's hitting a ton of different receivers. That was one of the keys to success in the 2016 season. So, yeah, I do think this offense is capable of putting up those points every week, and please let them continue to do it, because if they're ever going to win another game this year, that's what it's going to take.
So, Dave, before the season started, there was a lot of controversy in the draft around Falcons Twitter with the first round pick being Calvin Ridley. A lot of Falcons fans were expecting this to go defense. They obviously went with what they felt was the best player available at that spot. There was a lot of huffing and puffing about not needing another wide receiver. And yet here we are, we're four games in. He looks like he's the real deal. Looking back, thinking about the needs we had in that draft and looking at how he's performing now, what are your thoughts on Ridley and what he now means to this Falcons offense?
I feel like a great big idiot because, not only did I not think they would take Ridley, but I wasn't really too keen on the idea. But apparently what this Falcons offense was missing last year was really just Calvin Ridley. There was like a Calvin Ridley cartoon shaped hole on the field that they needed to fill with Calvin Ridley. He's been so important to the offense because I think for the last couple of years, especially too often, if teams really put the resources they needed to stopping Julio Jones, there was nobody else to hurt those defenses, really, unless you were playing like the Buccaneers or something, which I know is mean spirited, but here we are.
This is the Falcoholic Podcast. So
that's right.
Yes.
It's our brand.
I was warned about this. So, the thing with Ridley that's been so impressive is he can make defenses pay for that. You put him in single coverage and he's just making, all these cornerbacks look stupid because he's so fast and he's such a good route runner and he puts these moves on these guys and you're like, I can't believe he can do that. So he's really been critically important to the offense. I think he's going to continue to be important to the offense. And I no longer have any questions about why exactly they went for Ridley. If everything had gone according to plan and half the team hadn't died in that submersible accident, we'd be in great shape right now.
Oh, the submersible accident. So
let's all laugh.
A dark day in Falcons history.
Oh, indeed.
It hurts less when you laugh. Actually, that's not true. It still hurts like hell. So shifting gears to the Pittsburgh offense. Caroline, obviously, the rest of us on the phone are Falcons fans. We know the names. We know, obviously, Roethlisberger. Antonio Brown. We know that Le'Veon Bell is not with the Steelers right now.
Sure.
But what can you tell us about the Steelers offense? What are they like this year? Is it a high scoring unit? Do you feel like they're living up to their capabilities? What do Falcons fans need to know about the Steelers offense?
They're actually kind of very similar to the Falcons. And by that, I mean, not necessarily the pieces exactly, but they're scoring 25.5 points per game, where the Falcons are at 29. They're 425.8 yards per game. Falcons are at 425. So they're picking up around the same yardage. Obviously, well, maybe not obviously. The big thing is the receivers. When you have Juju Smith-Schuster, who is maybe my favorite player on the team. I say maybe because Vance McDonald is trying to stiff arm people into my heart one week at a time. And if, as the biggest Heath Miller fan you will ever talk to, I have a huge, giant, tight end size hole in my heart from when he retired. And Jesse James looked a little bit like he was thinking about trying to fill that spot, but Vance McDonald has been delightful the past couple games. So, but you look at Smith-Schuster and obviously Antonio Brown, who is just unbelievably talented and somehow continues to stay super talented year in and year out, despite what coverage is thrown against him or what's happening. Because he's getting double teamed every week most of the time, and he still finds ways to get open and score touchdowns. But right now, Smith-Schuster has the most receiving yards on the team, 416 yards, but only one touchdown. So AB is still that guy. Roethlisberger, 8 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Not great, Bob. Not great. he still does a lot of those things that's like Ben being Ben, where he can lumber into a hole that the offensive line gives him and find someone open down the field. But I just don't think he's been as sharp. So when you ask, have they been as good? Have they lived up to potential? Absolutely not, because with guys that you expected to see on the field coming into the season, the killer bees, obviously there's one missing still. That hurts. But I like James Conner. Obviously, he's not to hold him to the same standard as you would Le'Veon Bell. And to say like, oh yeah, you obviously need Bell back because look at this guy. Like, that's just unbelievably unfair to a rookie. Right. But it's just it doesn't have quite the same respect demanded out of when you have Connor versus Bell. So that's probably a good way to sum it up. Just heavy sigh.
Heavy sigh. We completely relate to that. So before we talk about the defenses of these two teams, and I use that term very loosely.
Yeah. Gina, oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm getting disconnected. Did you say defense? Oh, weird. I gotta go. Someone just called me.
Hold on. I need to go drink some battery acid. Gina, I want to get your take real quick. If the Steelers are going to slow down this Falcons offense, how do they do it?
You know, I got some really good suggestions from Falcons fans on this week. one idea from Mike Foster, friend of the show. He said that maybe they should play it like Madden, just go in, edit the roster, make every defensive player Le'Veon Bell, and then they're all holding out. They can't play this week. Bingo. That's how you slow them down. Yeah, there's really no good answer here, because the issue is this defense is what this defense is, and what they are is not very good. And so when you have guys who are they're as explosive as Antonio Brown and Juju, Juju, I'm a low-key giant fan of. For one thing, he is the best. He has a dog named Bougie, and I'm obsessed with this dog.
If you're not following this dog on Instagram, you are literally not living your life right.
Exactly. If you want to live your best life, stop what you're doing right now. Go follow Bougie, Juju Smith-Schuster's dog on Instagram. This dog is my spirit animal and also my hero. So, you know, I really like him. I like Antonio Brown. Like, he's irreverent and he doesn't really care what people say or think about him. And he is also very good. And so, you know, it's really not a I can't even talk trash about the Steelers offense, really. All I can do is say the Falcons defense is not very good. And so I can't even call anybody trash this week. Like, I'm not going to call the Steelers offense that. And I can't say it about my own team. So... I think that our best bet on Sunday is just make sure you have plenty of alcohol on hand and be ready for them to give up a lot of points. So I guess that's my best advice. That's my professional advice to you.
All right. Are you ready for 800 yards of offense? 900 possibly.
Somebody said, you know, if we really get down, break down the film and we prepare and we get 11 guys out there on the field who are ready to go to war, I think we can hold them to 800 yards. And I was like, you know, I like the optimism. I really do.
Oh, mercy. So with that, let's jump into the two defenses before we make our predictions for the game. And obviously, the Falcons defense, I think we'll talk about them second because you save the worst for last. but Caroline, I'm looking at the roster that you guys have over there in Pittsburgh. You've got some interesting guys, some guys that are playing well, some names, you know, obviously TJ Watt, Bud Dupree. I think they both have 3 sacks on the year. Cameron Hayward, Tuitt, Joe Hayden, who looks like maybe he's not having his best season, but, you know, it certainly has a potential. And then it looks like you've got some guys banged up in the secondary. So what the Falcons fans need to know about the Steelers defense? Obviously, it's not the steel curtain that we sort of associate with the Steelers. So give us your rundown of what the Steelers defense is right now.
Well, in first glance, it's really scary when you see your list of, you know, tackles and for the season and you see like Ben Roethlisberger, James Conner, Vance McDonald. Hold up, guys. You're not supposed to be tackling people. Antonio Brown. Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at the injury report and it's just like a sad violin of defensive players for both sides. it's just, if you look at the list, it's like safety, defensive end, linebacker. And one of the guys that I've really, really liked is John Bostic. He's been kind of all over the place. So he's someone that you keep an eye on. He's not someone that you necessarily will hear all the time, but he leads the team in tackles with 20, solo tackles, 30 overall. So that was very poorly worded by me, but he leads the team in total tackles with 30 and solo tackles with 20. There you go. And he's just like kind of a guy that's, you feel like at a certain, like by the third quarter, you're like, man, Bostic again, he's all over the place. I love TJ Watt, and what's really nice, as I've learned the first 4 games, is that you can hold him all day and they won't call it. So that would be my recommendation. to slow him down, because he's a workhorse and he's someone that has been like delightful to watch. I would say nice things about Terrell Edmonds, but I am legally not able to. As a Virginia fan, he went to Tech, so I don't know. I don't recognize. No, I'm just kidding. He's been really good. He's been really good. He had a fumble recovery on the goal line last game that the Steelers went 97 yards and then didn't convert on a 4th down. But that's fine. It's cool. I think it was anyway. Or like got 3 points out of it. I'm like, good job, guys. Go 97 yards and then
for 3 points.
Fall short. Yeah.
That sounds like a Falcons thing, actually.
Yeah. It was real special. It was real special. I'm mostly concerned. I feel like we're in the same boat. Concerned about the secondaries. They're getting beat badly. Mm-hmm. Like, if Matt Ryan's going to be precise, this game, I know we're going to do predictions later, but I think this game is going to be in the 40s. Like, wow. Easy.
Okay.
I just don't see either one of these teams stopping the other one. It's going to be one of those who has the ball last situations.
So, Dave, you heard Gina's assessment of our defense and what they're going to be able to do. But let's take a step back, and before we cry, I do want to point out some of the bright spots on this defense, and that is well,
I'm sorry, did you cut out there? I didn't hear anything.
No, so, and Dave, you actually had a very nice article, in all seriousness, on the site this week about this, and that there are a lot of young guys getting snaps very early, and that could pay off in the long run. You know, Deidre Sanat has looked like a very capable starter at defensive tackle. Obviously, getting Tack McKinley back last week, who looked absolutely like a monster in the second half against the Bengals, was destroying Andy Dalton's life single-handedly. Sort of unsung in this is second-year player Damontae Kazee, who stepped in at free safety and has been playing at a very high level already, which we thought it might be the case, but he has been impressive. So,
with a couple of notable exceptions, indeed. But yes.
Yes.
Because just because he tackles like Ralph Wiggum going through a window.
That's accurate.
Like Marcus Williams in a huge NFC playoff game, for, you know.
Except that he doesn't whiff.
He does not miss.
Well, actually, sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. So anyway.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yes. Casey has been spectacular.
Yep. So, Dave, give us your take on this entirely devastated Falcons defense, which came into the season with high hopes and right now looks like the nightmare from the 80s that many Falcons fans had to live through.
So I want you to picture the Steelers as an oil tanker going downhill. And the Falcons are trying to stop it by holding up rolls of paper towels and waving them in front of this truck. Is that is what this is going to look like on Sunday. Because, you know, I fully buy the Falcons have worked really hard this week. Bless their hearts. I think I use that right.
Now you can insult them and say whatever you want. That's how it works.
Okay, there we go. But, you know, they are trying. And we saw some improvement in the second half, some really impressive improvement. But even if these guys kind of play up to the level that they're able to play up to, this is a tough offense to stop. This is a tough passing attack in particular to stop. And I have really just huge concerns with all of the options the Falcons are currently trotting out at strong safety, whether that's Brian Poole sort of learning on the job, Jordan Richards, fresh off of special teams, not Keith Tandy for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I look at this and I think they may have some impressive moments for sure. But I think unless they can get a couple of key turnovers along the way, they're probably going to get gouged. And it's probably going to be up to the offense again to score 30 plus in order to win this. Would I love to be wrong, as I often am? Yes. And I hope that's the case. But I just don't see it happening, you know, in the span of 1 week that they're going to suddenly flick the lights on after getting beaten by the Saints and Bengals and be like, this is easy. I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. The optimism is pouring through on this podcast today. So
I like how we're both like, we're not going to win. Like,
whatever, man.
This is like that South Park episode with the Little League games. And they're like, they're both trying to throw it. No, we're not going to win.
This may be the NFL living embodiment of that South Park episode. So, with that said, I want to go around to each person real quick. And one name that you think fans need to pay attention to on Sunday that could be the difference maker for whatever particular team. So, Caroline, what's the one name fans need to pay attention to that you think could make the difference on Sunday?
I'm going to go with my boy Vance McDonald. He's been really big lately, and it's clear Ben Roethlisberger loves to work with a big, like, competent, confident tight end, and I think Vance McDonald can be that guy. The other one that I've been really fascinated by is Ryan Switzer. He's a small guy, came from UNC, watched him play there, but he is fearless in the middle, and he will run some real short routes and just bring that ball in. And I don't think he's not like a deep threat, not going to be the guy that is going to break open some huge play, but he's a consistent yards getter. And I think he could be someone that's interesting.
Awesome. Gina, who's the one name you think fans need to pay attention to on Sunday?
Well, first off, I have to apologize sincerely to Caroline because we are friends and I drafted Vance McDonald. I didn't draft him, but I grabbed him because my tight end situation in one league is so terrible and Vance McDonald has looked good. So I grabbed him to fill in, which means he's probably going to score 0 points for the rest of the season.
No.
So I apologize. It's not my intent. It's not my intent to ruin your offense. I'm trying to win games. But it's probably going to jinx him. And I already told you how much I love Juju Smith-Schuster. So let me switch back to the team that I actually cover and also love. I'm going to have to say Tack McKinley. Like, Tack McKinley is fired up for this game. Ben Roethlisberger is a guy he's been watching since he was a kid. And it was very funny to be in the locker room yesterday and to hear him talk about Ben. He is like, he has so much respect for him. But then he's like, he's a great quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but he hasn't played against me yet. So I think Tack is gunning for him. And I'm going to say that on a defense where the talent level has dropped significantly because of injuries, Tack is still a guy who is super talented, ready to go, and he is ready to get out there and make some plays. And so I think that on defense, I think that he's the guy to watch.
I want to be that confident about anything in my life where I'm like, that person's a really good writer, but they haven't read my shit yet. You know what I mean? Like nothing. Like, you can't be, there's some like chef that's like, I think they're a really good chef, but you haven't had my mac and cheese. Like, I just want something to get to that level where I have that kind of confidence. Cause I love it. I think that's great. And that's how you have to play these games.
Oh, absolutely. Dave, who is your one name for fans to watch on Sunday?
Well, Gina took Tack, and that would be too easy for me to just repeat exactly what Gina said, even though I agree with it. So I'm going to go with Jack Crawford. And the reason I'm going to do that is because Jack Crawford has actually gotten quite a few hurries this year, has not gotten a sack, doesn't have a ton of actual pressures to this point. And so I think that his ability to get into the backfield, the fact that he's going to have to play quite a bit this game, means that he's going to have one or two big plays. And then I hope he celebrates in British, whatever that means.
He'll have some tea and crumpets. Tea and crumpets at halftime.
Stereotypical.
I know, but it's the British. I mean, it works. It fits. Don't mock me. Anyhow, as for me, I mean, I'm going to go with the most obvious name here, I think, on the offense for the Falcons, and that's Devonta Freeman. I think the Falcons are going to want to control the clock to keep the Steelers' offense off of the field, and Devonta Freeman is one of the best ways to do that. I think they'll obviously split his snaps still with Tevin Coleman and hopefully Edo Smith, who has looked pretty amazing as a rookie. But Devontae offers something that I believe the other two can't, and he is someone that can grind in the middle of the line, pick up those hard yards, and I think he could be the difference here of owning the time of possession and really giving the defense time to rest, and it's going to be critical in a game like this where we're expecting an absolute shootout. So with that, we've come to the portion of the podcast where we do our predictions for the upcoming game. So I'm going to start with our very special guest, Caroline, to see how you think this one is going to play out on Sunday.
Yeah, I think lots of points, like 100 to 50. No, I'm just kidding. I would not be surprised if 100 points are scored in this game. I'm going to go like 41-35 Steelers. Let's add some optimism and just say that they're gonna figure out something. I don't know.
There you go.
There you go.
And that would, by the way, that would be the third straight loss for the Falcons with 30 or more points, which inevitably Dave would leave to fans blaming Ryan for not scoring 40 points per game. Anyhow, let's move on to Dave. Speaking of, your prediction for Sunday.
I've picked the Falcons each of the last 2 weeks, and they almost won, so I guess you could say that I was kind of right, but because they didn't, I'm going to have to say that they're going to probably lose this one. I hope I'm wrong, because that kind of really puts that first nail in the old coffin, but I think they're probably going to score 30 points and lose again. And I have the score being something like 34-31, you know, close enough that it's really, really crushing and frustrating that they lost that game, hung in it till the end, that sort of thing. So, and I think it'll ultimately come down to, let's say, what's the most painful thing that could happen? A missed Matt Bryant field goal. Let's call it.
God dog it. Wow, you need to go get a drink, buddy. Holy crap.
I got one, bud.
No, I mean something harder. You know?
I'm on my second bottle of
booze. Oh, my God.
I tried paint thinner, but it just made me feel wrong.
Just gave me a stomach ache.
Gina, I'm going to ask for your prediction now.
Well, okay, so I was on the radio here in Atlanta yesterday, and they put me on the spot for a prediction, and I realized it's Wednesday, and I didn't really think about this until that second, so I just made something up on the fly, which is basically how I handle this entire job. Like, I'm like, now that you ask, sure, let me give you an answer. What I said is Falcons 27-24.
Wow.
I'm going to stand by it. I'm going to stand by it because I'm on record. And so, gotta do it. That said, take the over. Take the over in this game. Take the over.
So, we're all predicting a shootout, which sometimes it isn't it funny in the NFL? You predict a shootout and you end up with like a 6-3 game.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a 6-3 game. I don't think these defenses are up for that. Honestly, I'm sort of in the same boat with Caroline. I do think the Steelers win. I think the Falcons offense struggles more on the road and they struggle more on grass. And that's going to be, I think, a factor here. So I am going to go with another heartbreaking score, 38-35 Steelers. Pick up the win. Falcons drop to 1-4, and their playoff hopes disappear like Dave's hairline. So,
RIP, they had a good run.
Listen, Baldy.
was that a step too far?
It's getting aggressive in here.
Well,
it's gone, man. You wake up one day and it's gone.
Well, in fairness, we're both bald, so that's I've got no room to talk. I'm right there with you, man. All right. So on that note, Caroline, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you on Twitter and what you are up to these days?
Oh, yeah. So if you like dogs and crazy tweets about the Red Sox in Virginia and that sort of thing, you can find me on Twitter at CW Darney. And yeah, it's almost basketball season. So we're trying to pretend like the NCAA tournament didn't happen last year and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
All right. Dave?
We're still trying to pretend like Super Bowl 51 didn't happen. Yeah, so we get it.
We've kind of gotten our staff as yes. Both a Falcons and a UVA fan. And we talked today about it's kind of like the, you know, whatever they lost, that's fine.
Apparently
people are going to bring it up, but it's just kind of like, he's like, they still mentioned 28-3. And that was, you know, 2 years ago.
It never goes away.
Yeah, it will never go away. Yeah. That is not like Dave's hairline. Dave, tell our listeners where they can find you.
Well, if you have a negative complaint of some kind, please seek out Falcoholic DW on Twitter. If you want to say something nice, however, you can find me at The Falcoholic, probably getting really unhappily drunk on game days, as usual. And you can find me on thefalcoholic.com, where we're producing wonderful content that hopefully does not include draft prospect profiles in mid-October.
I'm going to need a stiff drink after this podcast. Gina, tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas. I also tweet a lot of dog pictures, so that's good. I also tweet a lot about the Falcons, which is a mixed bag, if I'm being honest. And then you can find me on Fox 5 on Thursdays at 7 p.m. on Thursday Night Kickoff, which is very fun, probably reading your tweets on the air. So tune in for that. And also at The Falcoholic. So really exciting stuff.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. As for me, guys, you can find me on Twitter fighting with people who blame Matt Ryan at Falcoholic DW, and of course at thefalcoholic.com. So For Caroline Darney, Dave Choate, Gina Thomas, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for tuning in again this week, and we will talk with you next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.